Hello, and welcome to the CredoCast. I'm John Doherty, the founder and CEO of digital marketing marketplace Credo, where I connect you with the best digital marketing agencies and consultants available online. I started Credo at the beginning of 2013 because I saw a need. Large companies with big budgets have an easy time finding a great agency, but I saw that small businesses had an incredibly hard time. There are many misleading messages about what it takes to grow your business online these days, and small businesses have been hurt by bad agencies before. I've even seen it happen to my own friends. This podcast series digs into the beginning stories of Credo pros and other select entrepreneurs in the digital marketing space. Whether you're just starting a business or you've been in business for years, these stories are meant to encourage, energize, and inspire you to take the next step in your career, whatever that is. So sit back, listen, and enjoy the conversation. Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the CredoCast. I am super excited about my guest today, Tom Critchlow. Tom is actually my former boss from Distilled New York City, and he is still based in Brooklyn, is a freelance consultant, has been working on a product alongside his partner Aaron for the last couple of years as well. Tom is one of my closest friends, and so I'm super happy to have him on the podcast today talking about his journey starting to work for himself. He's been doing it for a couple years now, and I think you're going to have a lot to learn. So Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, John. I'm excited to be here. We talk all the time, but we don't talk on the podcast all the time. So this is going to be a fun chat, I think.
Absolutely. So I'd love it if you would just tell the audience a little bit about yourself. What's your backstory? And then how long have you been on your own? And how did you know that it was time for you to go out and do your own thing?
Yeah, sure. It's a long story. Where did I start? So I got a degree in mathematics in England, and I knew that I was going to take an alternative path through life when all of my friends were going into like investment banking or management tracks, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew I did not want to do that. And so I kind of ejected out of that, and I went and lived at home for a little bit after I was at college, and kind of bumbled around through life until my brother Will Critchlow reached out and was like, "Hey, I'm building this little company called Distilled. Maybe you want to come help?" And that was kind of where I got started. Not only learning SEO, which I think is the thing that everyone kind of assumes happened at Distilled, but I actually learned a lot just working alongside Will. About business, about sales, about time management, about all kinds of things that have really played a kind of key role in my career since. So I joined Distilled early on. Helped grow Will and Duncan's business. Moved to New York in 2011, which is when I hired you and we started working together. Built the New York office for Distilled. Had a lot of fun doing that. And then in 2012, I joined Google. I'm also in New York and worked there for a couple of years. That was a really interesting experience, which again is maybe a story for another time about when I pissed off the White House. That was a fun project. Then 2014, I left Google, went out on my own, and have been marketing consultant since. And I think you asked when I knew it was time. I think for me, it was actually a very personal decision. I'd been at Google for about 2 years, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't necessarily think that I was going to go out on my own as a consultant forever, but I thought, I can go and get a few clients, I can go and pay the bills, and I knew I didn't want to be at Google, and so I kind of made that decision to leap. And actually, the exact timing of leaving Google was all powered by the fact that it was coming up towards the end of the year, and I knew that if I stayed until January, I would get my year-end bonus, which at Google was quite substantial. And I just couldn't stomach staying until January. So in October 2014, I was like, you know what? I've got to go right now. And if I stay a moment longer, I would be an idiot to leave before January. And so that was kind of the final forcing function was, you know what? I got to go right now. And so I quit and I leapt out on my own as a marketing consultant.
Wow. So for everyone listening, Tom alluded to a couple of things there. So Tom was my boss at Distilled New York City. He hired me into Distilled in 2011 after I pestered him to give me an interview, and he actually hired me before he had a budget to hire people. So that's kind of how Tom rolls, and one of the things I love about him.
I remember chatting with Duncan and being like, hey, Duncan, I already hired somebody. And Duncan was like, wait, what? We didn't give you a budget or job descriptions or anything. And I was like, yeah, but I already have my first employee.
Like, yeah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine. And hey, everything worked out fine, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, and also everyone listening, this was after 2014 was after I left New York. So was there for 2.5 years and then moved away to San Francisco. And so this part of Tom's story, I actually haven't been there in New York with Forum. We've talked about it some, but I'm also learning a lot about Tom here as well. So it's going to be a super fun conversation. So Tom, you left Google in October of 2014 because you just couldn't stomach being there anymore, which I think a lot of people can understand. So how long did it take for you to pick up your first client or clients, and what was that process like?
Well, funny you should ask that, actually. I had one small client that I was doing a little retainer for, but my first real client after leaving Google actually came from you. You put me in touch with a friend of yours at the New York Times.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, thank you, dude. You got me started. And that was a super fun project, actually. I was working with the New York Times cooking section, which is kind of a new venture within the New York Times. And they had some SEO and content needs. So I dived right in. So yeah, thanks to you, John. You kind of helped me get off the ground. So yeah, I had one client that was kind of steady. I think they were giving me 2 days a week at that point. They were a small startup here in the city, and I was kind of doing a combination of strategy and actually some brand work for them, which was kind of a bit of an interesting challenge for me, but helping them figure out what their kind of tone of voice should be and how that can translate into their content, working with their content marketer. They had one person doing content at the time when I was there. And I think when I stopped working with them in 2015, they had 3 or 4 people working in content. So that was kind of a fun journey. So those were kind of my initial clients that helped me get off the ground. I think it's interesting. One of the things that in hindsight, when I first left Google and I first went out as a consultant, I had these grand ideas, you know, certainly coming out of Google, I had these grand ideas that I was going to be like an innovation consultant, or I was going to, you know, help businesses transform themselves for the digital age and do all of these kind of weird and wacky and wonderful projects. And, you know, the first couple of clients that I got were SEO consulting jobs. And at first I was a little bit disheartened by that. I was a little bit, I guess, disappointed in myself. But what has become incredibly obvious to me over the last couple of years doing this is two things, really. One is that when a client hires you, they have to have some tangible point of reference. And the thing that I'm most well known for is SEO and content marketing. So pretty much every single project that I've done since I left Google has had that as a touch point. But what's interesting is that now I've gotten to a point when almost none of the projects that I'm working on actually involve me doing any SEO, but I'm working for companies where SEO and content marketing is a very important part of their business. But I've got to a point where I'm doing either strategic consulting or helping them structure their business in a certain way, helping them hire teams, maybe even mentoring the CEO, doing a kind of a wide range of special projects for these companies. But the reason that they hired me is because of that kind of legitimacy and that background that I have in the search and content marketing world. So it's been a fun journey going from those first few clients to where I am now. But yeah, thanks to you, John, for one of my first big clients.
Anytime. Happy to do it for anyone that needs it. And it was fantastic being able to, you stepped in a big pinch as well, because I needed somewhere good to send that client, and you were the right person. It was just the right time. So it's amazing how things work out like that. So
that's also your business model. I mean, you know, I think that's also, it's true. Like, yeah, you've built an entire business. Credo is kind of predicated on the fact that you know how to match companies with the people that need the help and making that kind of connection. So I for anyone listening that like hasn't actually tried Credo or doesn't really know the platform, I think it's just further proof that you actually know what you're doing.
Totally. I appreciate that a ton. So I'd like normally I ask a question about when you knew that your consulting was going to work, and maybe you want to answer that wrapped up in this as well. And you kind of went into it a little bit about you started off doing SEO consulting. We're a little bit disheartened by that, which I can identify with. And then now you're doing more of the stuff that you actually set out to do. And I would say that the stuff that you're good at SEO and content marketing, of course, but where you really add value is in the, you know, the business operations and kind of where businesses go. And yeah, the, you could call it innovation or like internal kind of innovation, consulting stuff. And you as a consultant structure your work a little bit differently from a lot of consultants. You structure it differently from how I do it, where, you know, you might have like a day rate or something like that. Can you talk about how you structure, you know, your time? Is it on-site stuff? Do you charge by the day? Do you charge by the project? Like, how do you kind of do all of that? And yeah, and at what point did you say, okay, this is actually, you know, I feel like I have a model here that works and I can kind of indefinitely, you know, keep paying the bills?
There's a bunch of questions in there. I like what you said, actually, the business consulting innovation, internal innovation stuff. I think that's going to be my new tagline. I think it's going to go on my website. So I guess the first question is, when did I feel like it was going to work? I think there's actually kind of two parts in answer to that question. I felt like it was going to work immediately. You know, the fact that you sent me the New York Times as one of my very first clients, like immediately after leaving Google, and I had another client on retainer, gave me a real, even though it wasn't necessarily the exact work that I really wanted to be doing, it was just really good clients to get started with, and I had good faith that I could pay the bills doing the consulting. And so I guess I kind of knew it was going to work straight away. Although fast forward to the summer of 2015, we were just going back and forth on text message the other day, John. I sent you a screenshot of my bank balance from last summer when things got a little hairy and was kind of like, oh, look how far things have come. You know, summer 2015, I got real slow. I don't think I had any work for about 3.5 months, not through any choice of my own, but just, you know, stuff dried up. And so I guess I kind of went through a bit of a crisis there of like, oh, I thought this was going to work. Maybe it's not. Maybe I just can't make this work. Thankfully, since then, it's picked up a whole bunch. But I guess the answer to that question is I don't think you ever really do know that it, quote unquote, it's going to work. In the same way that I think if you take a job in today's environment, there isn't actually that much stability about it. You know, you can get laid off at any time. You know, things can move. The company you work for can fold. You know, there's a number of different ways in which I think we kid ourselves about stability. I think we're always a couple of short hop, skips, and a jump from dire straits. And so I think that that's a good, it's actually a good mindset to have as an independent consultant. For me, you know, having a number of different clients allows me to diversify a little bit. It kind of keeps you hungry and keeps you looking for the next thing. So I think that's, it's kind of an ongoing back and forth between, oh, I'm on top of the world, this is amazing, to, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills next month? And you hope that just you get fewer and fewer of those moments of how am I going to pay the bills? Until eventually, hopefully, you can pay them all the time. So that was, I guess, kind of the answer to your first question. The answer to your second question, I think, was how I kind of set up my business. So actually, I very, very recently actually just set up an LLC for the work that I do. When I ejected out of Google and got started, I was just, you know, billing as an individual, almost as like a contractor or a freelancer, and only recently got around to actually setting up an LLC for my work. I actually wrote a blog post about, I was very tempted to create a kind of a full brand name and kind of almost like an agency name for the work that I do, and backed away from that and decided not to do that, but I still put in place the LLC and some of the kind of back end, I guess, kind of formalization and I guess growing up, you could call it, around doing that. So I did that pretty recently, which is, I think, quite unusual. I think a lot of people do that first or worry about that early on. And I think, actually, partly because the clients I was working with, I trusted a lot. I had very good relationships with them. I felt like I didn't need to worry as much about you know, forming an LLC and worrying about, you know, getting paid and that kind of stuff. I feel like they were pretty good, which is nice. That's a good position to be in.
Yeah, totally. That's really good to hear. I know a lot of people that are kind of in your same position who have also just recently gone through forming an LLC, and most of them because they're looking to hire someone, and so having that kind of business structure in place. I got my LLC just a couple months after I started working for myself last year, mostly for the software company, and just started putting my consulting under it recently when I had a client that needed me to get business insurance. And so I basically decided that, you know, there's no reason to keep these separate. I mean, as a single proprietor LLC, all of your money, all the money for the business is also technically your money. But it does give you that extra layer of like A, tax protection, but B, also like liability protection, which is super, super valuable. And I want to go back to your point real briefly earlier about getting laid off or kind of feeling like you never are really sure that it's going to work. A lot of people that I've talked with have said that, you know, they knew it was going to work when they had, you know, a few clients or, you know, or something like that. They'd been able to pay the bills for a few months. Someone recently, former guest, Mike, from Upbuild told me that he really, you know, felt like it was going to work, when he was paying people, and it felt like he had a real business and payroll had been run a couple of times. He's like, whoa, like I'm actually paying people and I'm able to keep paying people and, you know, have a healthy pipeline. But I completely agree with you on the point of that security is kind of a farce. It's kind of something that we all go into the workplace thinking is true. It's like, oh, I have a good steady paying job. I can pay my bills. But, you know, like you said, you never know what's going to happen, right? Your company could be acquired tomorrow. The company you work for could be acquired tomorrow and you're laid off, or, you know, you go on vacation and stuff is restructured while you're away and your job is eliminated. You know, you just never know. And I think that's a good point about it keeps you hungry and that should keep you hungry and it should keep us from being complacent. You know, complacency is something that I hate, you know, something that I don't like and, you know, I try to fight against, and it sounds like you have that same kind of perspective on it.
Right. Yeah. If anything, being a kind of freelancer or being self-employed, I think of it as almost being like anti-fragile, that kind of idea of, and constantly, like every few months, it's like I get laid off, you have to kind of go find new clients, and you have to always be looking, and so I feel like I'm a little bit more resilient that way. Hopefully, you know, it comes with, there's also some latent stress that comes with it. I think, you know, some people really do want to not have to think about finding work all the time. I think for me, you know, one of the reasons that I went out on my own as a consultant was I actually felt like I had a lot of the different skills. You know, working at Distill over the years, I've done so many different pieces of sales, of, you know, proposal writing, contract negotiation, client management, hiring people, training people, delivering the work, interfacing with clients, interfacing with CEOs. I've done so many different pieces of that I felt relatively comfortable kind of handling all of that myself. You know, I think some people who haven't had experience in some of those things, even though a lot of those things are relatively easy, actually, if you haven't done them before, they can seem very scary. And so I think a lot of people, before they go out on their own, they have these kind of ideas of it being this kind of wild, scary thing. And I totally empathize with that. You know, it can be daunting doing it. But I guess I'd already done quite a few of those pieces already. And so I kind of had good confidence or faith in myself. Whether that was misguided or not, I don't know. We shall see. But so far, it seems to be working out okay.
Yeah. So tell me about managing that stress. I mean, you said that a year ago consulting was super slow and you basically had 3 months where you had no work and, you know, the bank balance was getting a little bit thin and all of that. And as you said, every few months now, you know, it's basically like you're starting a new job, right? As you get, you end a project, you pick up a new client, you're having to do sales and contract negotiations and, you know, and all that. And just from talking to you over the last couple years, you seem to have kind of settled into a good perspective on, you know, when times are lean, when times are, you know, are fat with work. Tell me how you've kind of handled that stress and how do you, you know, what perspective do you take on when the times are slow now that you have a couple of years of experience underneath your belt? How do you think about that? And, you know, do you still stress out about being able to pay the bills?
Again, lots of questions wrapped up in there. Thankfully, right now, I'm not stressing out about paying the bills. I'm busy and have been for a few months, which is really nice. It's a good position to be in. Fingers crossed, touch wood. I'm frantically touching wood over here. You know, so far, I feel very privileged to be doing okay. I think the stress definitely comes and goes. I just had a daughter, Roxy. She was born 4 months ago. So there's definitely a kind of additional stress in my life right now as well, which I kind of think is kind of on top of that. But the flip side of that is actually that I'm much better able to deal with it when I can work on my own terms. I actually think that in some senses, personally, I find it far more stressful to have to show up 5 days a week to a thing. If that thing is not exactly what I want, or has some stresses involved, or has people that I don't get along with or don't mesh with, what's nice when you really zoom out and look at the consulting life, what's nice about it is that you don't get stuck in any one situation for too long, which is kind of the positive spin of the you know, the constantly having to go find new work and so on and so forth. You know, I think you know, like last summer when I got slow, definitely involved a bunch of stress, and definitely there were, I guess, anxiety was probably a better word than stress. That kind of like self-doubt, more so than stress. Like, stress is kind of like, I associate personally with more so like when I'm overworked, when I'm like, man, I've got to do like 5 things by the end of the day, and I just don't have time to do those things. Anxiety was a bit more like, I have all day long to think about this one problem, but I don't know how to solve it. And so I think that was kind of more the situation I was in last summer. Thankfully, I was surrounded by quite a good group of freelancers. So actually, at the time, I was working out of a co-working space here in Brooklyn, a little space called The Works, run by Dave Dawson, who's a really great guy. He's a freelance graphic designer, and he's been out on his own for a number of years. And so I kind of had this community around me that it was really reassuring for them to be like, oh, you're quiet right now. That's a good thing. You should go for a bike ride. You should go for a swim. You should go afternoon drinking. You know, not to sidestep my responsibilities. You know, obviously I should be going out and finding work and so on and so forth. But, you know, the summary is, make the most of the slow times, because when it gets busy, you're going to have to do the work. You know, when you're self-employed, when you're an individual, when you get really busy and when you sell one more client than you probably should, there's no one to do the work except yourself. And so you're going to be really busy, and you're not going to have time to go bike riding or go swimming or go afternoon drinking. So when you do have the time for it, you know, you make the most of it, and don't think of it as shirking responsibility or being lazy or any of those things. You know, it's like, that's just a natural consequence of the ups and downs and the highs and lows. So that really helped me through it. I think having that support system in place, you know, right now, I'd say that, you know, having a daughter around and, you know, having to deal with all of the things that come with that, actually, I'm personally in a really good place right now, because I'm mostly in charge of my own schedule, which just means that if there's a doctor's appointment, or if I want to take an afternoon off and look after Roxy while Aaron goes for a swim, you know, I can do that. And so that's kind of been really nice, and just kind of, you know, one of my umbrella goals for the next year or two is really to kind of maintain that flexible lifestyle so that I can be around, you know, while Roxy's small. So, you know, feel privileged and lucky to be able to do that, but that's kind of the plan.
That's awesome. So they really talked about, so those friends really helped you learn to embrace the balance in consulting and the kind of freedom that the lifestyle can bring, which I think is a kind of a key point. And you've also purposefully not, you know, gone, you're purposely not building an agency, right? Putting your consulting underneath an agency name. You're purposefully not hiring people. Tell me a little bit more about that decision and kind of what you're, you know, what the lifestyle brings to you.
Yeah, sure. I've done a lot of thinking about this recently, actually, and it was all wrapped up in that idea of whether or not I should build a brand for my consulting and kind of, you know, build more like an agency-like structure around what I do. It was actually, there was a book that I read called Million Dollar Consulting that a friend recommended to me by Alan Weiss.
Which I have on the way currently to my apartment. Looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's a little bit rah-rah, you know, it's a little bit like, you too, with these 3 simple steps, can earn $1 million consulting. And you know, you have to kind of look past that a little bit. But there's just lots of good, grounded common sense in there. In particular, he talked a lot of sense about how to grow an individual consulting business without feeling like you have to just work more hours to earn more money. Talking about how to structure contracts, how to find the right kind of business, how to position yourself well for that kind of business, how to pitch and close deals that do the kind of revenue goals that you want to meet, and so on and so forth. And so reading that book and thinking a lot about the structure that I wanted to have really helped me kind of reinvigorate me, I guess, about my consulting work to the point where I feel like I feel like I have some specific goals that I want to hit around revenue, around clients, and so on, that feel fresh and feel attainable without having to hire people. You know, it's kind of, I think a lot of people assume that the only way to grow this business is to hire people or to get equity. And actually, I think there's a really viable path to just building a sustainable practice. You know, and a lot of that comes down to basically just charging more, basically just trying to find those projects that you're really good at and then pricing them in a way that is more based around value than around hours or days. And that, you know, ultimately clients have a lot of money to spend and they will spend it when they feel like they have confidence and they can find somebody that can execute against that project they need. And so it's all about positioning yourself for those projects and then closing them. And so I feel like that's been interesting for me, just thinking through, like, it doesn't feel like a hamster wheel. It feels like, oh, actually, I am building something. I'm just not building an agency. I'm not building anything that has equity. I'm not building anything I could sell. But I'm still building. You know, I'm still growing this in an intentional way. So that was kind of an interesting breakthrough for me. Again, a lot of that came from me reading the book. I don't think all of that is in the book. You know, you have to kind of read between the lines. And a lot of the stuff in the book was kind of common sense that I already knew, but it was just nice to have a reminder of those things. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking about it right now. And it's also, I think there is a bit of a pervasive culture, certainly in Silicon Valley, but also in New York, around the idea of like wanting to do a startup, wanting to get VC money, wanting to kind of build something that you can sell in an exit. And I think that having a child was actually a really good kind of grounding reminder that if you build a real business, something that is sustainable, that has revenue and just pays the bills, that is a great goal. Like that is enough of a goal in itself, because it allows you to provide for your family and it allows your family to grow and provides that environment. And it's kind of, you know, yes, you know, do I wish that I had a $25 million like exit tomorrow? Like, well, sure. But, you know, that's pretty unlikely. Actually, I'm pretty happy building this sustainable kind of revenue thing for now, you know, and you know, when Roxy's a little bit older, or if inspiration strikes or whatever, or if the opportunity comes up, yeah, sure. Maybe I'll kind of build something and you know, I'm not ruling out raising VC money, but for now I'm excited and kind of energized doing what I'm doing.
Totally. And I think that for now is a great way to think about it. We're all, I mean, I live in Silicon Valley, and it's always, you know, who's getting funding next and, you know, how's this business doing and when are they going to IPO and all of that. And the reason a lot of us become freelancers, work for ourselves, start our own businesses is so that we can have that freedom. And so why are we stuck right in the kind of the hamster wheel, as you said, of the for now or of the, you know, of the future? Like, it pays to be, you know, in the present and kind of building methodically, which is very well said. So in talking about building methodically, looking back over your almost 2 years of working for yourself, what would you have done differently when you look at where you've gotten to now?
Good question. I think I would have spoken at more conferences. I think I'd spoken at a lot of conferences when I worked at Distilled, especially in 2010, 2011. And I kind of got a little bit burned out doing that. And so I think I kind of forgot how much value there is in terms of driving leads and getting business. I just closed a client recently here in New York because they saw me speak at a conference in 2011. And so it's just a great
reminder. Wow, 5 years later.
Yeah, it's just a great reminder that
unbelievable.
That I think it a little bit like podcasts are more intimate than just reading a blog post. I think speaking at conferences, you create such an intimate relationship with your audience. They get to see you, they get to see your energy, they get to hear you speak. You can meet them afterwards, all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that I forgot how valuable conferences were. And you know, also, like I said, I was a little bit burned out, I think, from them. So I think that's definitely something that I would have done more of. I think they're just really good. And they are fun. You know, it's I think I forgot how fun they can be. So would have spoken at more conferences, probably would have done a little bit more blogging, constantly beat myself up for not writing enough, not publishing enough, and trying to get back into that recently. But otherwise, I think, you know, it's been ups and downs, but it's been good.
So are you going to get back on the speaking circuit a little bit, or with now focusing on, you know, Roxy growing up and all that, are you, what are your plans there?
I would love to get back on the speaking circuit. Not in, like, quote unquote circuit, not like I want to go around and do like 20 conferences a year, but I would love to come back and speak at a few conferences here and there. I don't really have any plans right now, but certainly would love to do that, especially for ones that are local, anything here in New York, I would be keen on. So if anyone's listening and planning a conference, I would love to speak.
Totally. And I assume getting out of the, you know, the SEO space or something like that, but more in like the content marketing, even like entrepreneurship sort of, you know, circles, like building a business. I mean, you've been building a business for the last couple of years now and helped a lot of businesses grow. So, you know, that's that's the kind of thing that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you like to do. You like to grow businesses. So whether it's through teams or teaching them to innovate or, you know, search engines or whatever, that's where your passions really lie.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it best earlier when you said the internal innovation business stuff, I guess, is where I'd love to speak. Although, you know, I wouldn't rule out some SEO conferences. There's, you know, like I said, I'm still in that world. My day-to-day work is not keyword research and link building, but it is still, I'm still working with companies that produce a lot of content, whether that is the New York Times or whether that is, you know, a blog that is building a kind of content library. You know, there's many ways in which I'm still involved in that world. So, you know, like I think if somebody asked me to go speak on keyword research, I'd probably turn them down. Although maybe that'd be a fun challenge. I haven't done that for a while. But yeah, you know, I'm pretty open. I think, again, a lot of it comes down to who the audience is. Is the opportunity exciting? Are the people going to be fun? You know, I don't know. I'm not too picky. I haven't spoken at a conference for a little while, so I'm probably also a little bit rusty. So I guess whoever invites me to come speak at a conference probably has to put up with me mumbling and bumbling and saying probably more than I should.
I bet your 4-month-old daughter would be a great person to practice to.
She falls asleep at anything, so I guess I shouldn't take it personally if she falls asleep.
Right, exactly. If the audience falls asleep, you're not going to take it personally either.
Right.
So Tom, it sounds like you've built a great business and a lifestyle that you really enjoy over the last couple of years. And I think we're very similar in how we think about working for someone else at this point, but I would love to hear directly from you at this point, you know, in your life with where you are, what would it take to get you to go back to work for someone else again?
Good question. I think it would be all around the combination of the people and the opportunity. That sounds pretty vague, but I mean, I think that it would only be if the opportunity to build something as part of a team was so exciting and appealing that it was something that I felt I couldn't get on my own. A mutual friend, one of the other initial founders of the Distilled New York team, Ron Garrett, just got a new job. I don't think he's quite public about what it is yet, but I'm basically jealous of his job. I think he has one of the most interesting jobs in New York, there's definitely niches that I would be fascinated about going into, particularly around, you know, like emerging technology, whether that's virtual reality or Bitcoin, or you know, there's opportunities there that I think could maybe entice me out of what I'm doing. But it would mostly have to be about the people and the opportunity, I think. You know, never say never, I guess. You know, it's who knows where the opportunity might be. But I think it would certainly have to be something pretty exciting right now to kind of combat the flexible lifestyle, or I guess like an opportunity that would also still provide me the flexible lifestyle I have right now.
Yeah, for sure. And that's interesting that you mentioned the being part of a team. So a lot of us that we go out and work for ourselves, and you know, it's all about being able to do your own thing. And at least for me, no one, you know, telling me what I can do or what I can't do or what I can, you know, what I'm allowed to test or whatever, you know, allowed to make my own mistakes. But then at the same time, it can be somewhat lonely. And I've heard a few people recently saying that the best thing that they did with their business was finding a co-founder, or, you know, bringing someone on full time that they really think of as a peer. And, you know, as the founder or whatever, you know, if you're the CEO or, you know, even your VP level or whatever, like it's still, anytime you have someone working for you where you're a manager, it can still be, you know, lonely. So you never, the point isn't to get rid of the loneliness, but the point is to find those that you can really work alongside and, you know, are really going to complement your skills and, you know, provide a great, you know, a great work environment.
Yeah, for sure. you know, I think it's also about, I think I'll probably do this for a few years, and then I'll probably be like, you know what, I want a different change of pace. I want like a, you know, dedicated team and like a something I can sink my teeth into for a couple of years, and I'll probably jump back into some kind of job at some point, I guess, or, you know, start a business or something, who knows. But I think it's all about, like, nothing is forever, right? So I think that's worth remembering.
Yeah, for sure. And there's absolutely zero shame in that. There's, you know, everyone is different, and some people want to go back and do that, or you have, you know, maybe you had skills that you wanted to learn going and working on your own, and you've learned how to launch a business and grow a business and manage your own psychology, and those skills in and of themselves will be really useful should you go back and, you know, join someone. And I mean, I'm not saying never. I'm not saying that I'll never go back and join another company, but, you know, at this point I have no plans to. But yeah, never say never, and you never know what opportunities are gonna come up. So that's very well said.
I think actually you hit the nail on the head there. I still feel like I'm learning. I feel like the clients that I have push me in new directions, and that I get the opportunity to do things that are new and interesting. I think if that dried up, that would definitely be a catalyst, I think, to maybe jump into an environment where I felt like I could learn either from the people that I was directly working with or from the community that they were in. I think that would definitely be a piece of it.
Totally. And I've heard from a lot of consultants that have gone back into work full time. It's because they, you know, they were consulting with a client, and basically that client was so awesome and they, you know, really enjoyed everyone that they were working with there, that they decided they wanted to go and really see that through. And that's a pretty common thing to see happen. And I know something that I considered when I was considering going back to work for someone full time, when I was kind of striking out on my own last year and talked to my wife's old boss, and he advised me to, you know, if I wanted to basically, you know, try to do like a 3-month contract, like a contract to hire sort of thing. And, you know, unless you know that you just want to be consulting and you really don't have a desire to go back and work for someone, which some people do, some people have that, but if you're open to it, at least doing that sort of thing and, you know, not jumping into it straight away and just saying, oh yeah, I'll come work for you full time, because you really don't have enough information to know if it's actually going to work out well for you and, you know, be willing to give up the freedom or whatever that you currently have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think a sizable number of the projects that I've worked on, the clients that I've worked with, have tried to hire me at one stage or another.
Same. Yeah, totally.
So it's definitely something that, and I think so. The flip side of that statement is, it is a good way to jump on. You know, it's a good way to kind of get your feet wet and to say, you know what, why don't I just do this thing for you? And what's nice about that is that when you position yourself as a consultant, you're positioning yourself to get paid rather than trying to do free work or, you know, like a trial project or whatever, which I'm not generally a fan of. You know, I know some people that have done that successfully, but I'm not generally a big fan of that approach.
Totally. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and your story and some of the bumps and bruises you've experienced along the way. And, you know, congratulations on being a couple years in, and congratulations on Roxy and her growing up. I'm looking forward to getting out there and meeting her in person pretty soon. But as I say to everyone here on the CredoCast, I'm rooting for you. Keep on going.
All right, thanks, John. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, and congrats on everything that you built. It's been really fun watching you build Credo over the last couple of years. Well, actually quite a few years, because you had the idea, the seed of it was kind of a long time coming. So it's been really exciting watching that evolve and watching you grow with it. So yeah, keep it up, dude.
Totally. Thank you.
All right. Speak soon.
Yep.